as we prepare for coming together in communion. Our confession of faith this week is taken from four of the questions in the Heidelberg Catechism. These are questions 88 through 91. And they are in the bulletin and on the screen behind me. I'd invite you to stand with me. What is involved in genuine repentance or conversion? What is the dying away of the old self? What is the coming to life of the new self? What do we do that is good? You may be seated. I invite you to pray with me again as we even use these questions and the things that we have seen in God's Word today for opening our hearts to God, seeking to examine our hearts and confess our sins to God, not in such a way as we might be then excluded from the table, but so that through confession and forgiveness we might come to the table. All right, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we do bow before you, because even as we read these questions and answers, we realize that there are times that we may not like our sin, but we're not necessarily genuinely sorry for it. We don't seem to hate it more and more, and sadly, there are times that I will not run from my sin, but I'm quite happy to embrace it. Father, I wish that I did have a wholehearted joy in you alone through your Son, Jesus Christ. But there's so many things that tempt me to look to them for my joy, for my happiness. Again, even the things that you give me, even the kindnesses that you have shown to me, I take those and I turn those into my ultimate joy, my delight. Father, forgive us, hear us as we confess these things that have robbed us of our joy and have not even delivered on what they've promised. Father, we thank you that you hear our prayer. That we can't even cry out to you over our sin without faith. That you are hearing us. That you care to hear us. And that you've made a way for us to come into your throne room as sinners. Because we are saved by your grace. We thank you for the full and complete forgiveness we have in Jesus Christ, and pray that as we come to your table, we would remember both the high cost of our forgiveness, the death of Jesus Christ, but also that we would remember that He paid that price gladly, that You accepted that price gladly for our forgiveness. It's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, in writing his first letter to the church in Corinth, explains communion to them in this way. He says, beginning in verse 23, "I've received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person then examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Even as this passage wraps up and finishes, we see again the severe mercies of God. That even as He judges us for our sins, it is so that we won't be condemned with the world. He is that loving, that He desires nothing less than our salvation. When we come together, we celebrate that God would go to any extreme to save us from our sin. It's what we remember at the table, that God's Son died for our sins. He died for our forgiveness. He died for our being received and reconciled and restored to our Father in heaven. As we come to the table, we need to remember. I mean, this isn't a Hope of Christ table. This isn't a Presbyterian Church in America table. This is the Lord's table. It is for all who call on the name of the Lord, all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so, if you have made that profession that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that He died for your sins, this table is for you. If you have not made that profession, as Paul says in communion, we are actually preaching, the word is preaching, the Lord's death. You are proclaiming the Lord's death through your actions. It's a parable, if you will. It's an acting out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Savior of sinners who died for your sins, then you ought not to, as the Bible would put it, hypocritically partake. Because in partaking, you are saying, "Jesus died for my sins." This table is for sinners. Perhaps you heard the message today and you feel like, "Well, I don't think I've repented well." Now, first, I don't want to short-circuit the Holy Spirit's work. Perhaps that is true. Perhaps that's true. Perhaps you felt regret. Perhaps you felt remorse. But it has never driven you to your knees to realize that sin Jesus died for. Or to realize that sin Jesus gladly paid for. But it could be that you just think, I don't think I'm repentant because you're still sinning. If this table was limited in that way, not I or your elders would be invited to the table. It is for sinners who have been saved by grace. And so we repent. And we repent of our repentance. Sometimes we even repent of our repenting of our repentance. Because we know our hearts. We know that there are times that we just, I don't get this. Isn't that the beauty of the gospel? You don't have to always get this to get this. He didn't die to make you smarter. He died to save you from your sin. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you for this bread broken, pierced, reminding us again that your body was broken for us, that you were the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Father, thank you for this cup. Thank you for shedding Jesus' blood as a final payment for our sin. Lord Jesus, as we come celebrating that we are united to you, I pray, God, that we would seek to live out that union with you through union with each other. If we are reconciled to you and this table is a celebration of that, how odd for us to hold on to sins against one another, grievances that we have felt or committed. If we have been reconciled to our Father in heaven, God, use this even as the first step on the road of restoration, that we might reconcile with one another, that we might run to each other, that we might forgive one another as God has forgiven us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some instructions as we prepare, as the elders come forward. At Hope of Christ, we use wine in the celebration of communion. Now, if for reasons of health or conscience, you would prefer grape juice, that is available for you. It's in the two outside columns on the trays. That would be more clear when you get up here. Our trays are not symmetrical circles, so there are four lines on them that are straight. And those four straight lines are grape juice. Everything in the center of the tray is wine. What I would like to do is ask you to come forward and receive the bread and the wine together. Take the bread from one of the elders, come as families or individuals. But if you have a family with you, and perhaps you have children who are not members of the church or who have not made that profession of faith, bring them with you anyway. Give us the privilege of blessing your children as you come forward. But partake together as a family. Take up the bread together and then move on and take up the cup together. Just ask you maybe from this center section, just kind of split somewhere down the middle and come down the outside aisles. And just so that there's no kind of traffic jam, if you would, after you partake, you could just take the stairways on the sides and just work your way back to the chairs. So just kind of come down, make a full loop, and then back to your seats. The praise team will be providing music for either during your meditation, or the words are also provided if you would like to sing along as well.
And so just, if you would, just give the praise team the chance to come forward for communion first, but that's usually not an issue. And so when you see anyone up, then just feel free to come. If someone in your row is unable to come forward, but they would like to take communion, if you would please give that information to us, and we would be glad to bring that to you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for the union we have with Christ, for the communion of the saints that we get to come and celebrate together. We pray that your blessings would be poured out, that your Spirit would be present, that even as we feed bodily on these things, on this simple bread and simple wine, that our spirits would be nourished by Christ himself. In his holy name we pray. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and broke it, as I do in his name. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." As you come forward and you take of the bread, look at it. See that it has been broken, that it's been pierced, that there are pieces with holes in it. As real as that bread is in your hand, as real as that bread is in your mouth, that is how real the body of Jesus Christ is. Not was, is. Our Lord Jesus Christ is raised today. He is alive, bodily. He is at the side of his Father. I don't know how to explain it beyond that. It gets confusing even to me. But I know that Jesus is alive and he is in heaven. But as real as his bread is, that is how real his body is. And it was broken for the complete forgiveness of all your sins. In the same way he took the cup after supper. And he gave thanks, which we have done in his name. And he said to his disciples, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for many. Drink of it, all of you, as you come forward, as you take the fruit of the vine, whether the wine or the grape juice, smell it, look at it, taste it as you drink it, and remember that as real as this wine is, that is how real the shed blood of Jesus Christ is for the complete, full, final forgiveness of all your sins."